The WTO rules Europe's subsidies to Airbus were illegal. The Aerospace Industries Association likes the Obama space plan. And the last radar contact showed the missing Piper at 300 AGL. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, July 1st, 2010. The New York Times reports the World Trade Organization has ruled that subsidies from European governments to help Airbus develop several aircraft models were illegal. The WTO wants them withdrawn within 3 months. The 1,200-page ruling could theoretically require Airbus to repay $4 billion in loans made to develop the A380 on terms far more favorable than those available commercially, or enable the U.S. to impose tariffs on Airbus products. Boeing is crowing. CEO Jim McNerney commented, quote, "This is a landmark decision and sweeping legal victory over the launch aid subsidies that fueled the rise of Airbus and that continue to provide its products a major cost advantage," unquote. Airbus says not so fast. It notes that a parallel case filed in the WTO by Europe against the U.S. is still in process and notes that Boeing has received research grants, one of the forms of aid found illegal in the Airbus case. If nothing else, the Pentagon has a new headache in sourcing the KCX tanker, and Boeing boosters in Congress have more ammo to argue that EADS should be shut out of that competition. If both sides are found at fault, the U.S. and the EU would both be empowered to apply tariffs on each other, which would make the dueling WTO rulings somewhat moot. Reaction continues to President Obama's statement Monday of his administration's new direction for the U.S. space program. The Aerospace Industries Association, which has both members who profit from old NASA and others which could thrive in the commercialization of space exploration, has issued a statement saying the new national space policy takes important steps needed to maintain our global leadership in space and ensure continued competitiveness and innovation. AIA, as a whole, is a fan of anything that strengthens U.S. space leadership and sees the new policy as a move in that direction, but adds, quote, "In order to fully realize U.S. industry's potential in the global space market, it's critical that our nation take the steps needed to modernize an outdated export control system so that our industry can compete on a level playing field abroad," unquote. And AIA notes it's not enough to just state a policy. Quote, "It's important that policy be backed by stable funding as well as a detailed national strategy that helps ensure that policies are carried out," unquote. A 1968 Piper PA-28R on a sightseeing trip to Glacier National Park has apparently gone down and is missing, with no word on the four people on board. Sonny Kless of Missoula, Montana, reportedly rented the plane at Kalispell City Airport Sunday afternoon. Two reporters for the Daily Interlake newspaper, Melissa Weaver and Erica Hoffer, were also reported along for the ride. A second man, who is not identified, but who was reportedly also from Missoula, was also on board. Authorities were notified the plane was missing Monday morning when Weaver's roommate contacted the county sheriff to say Weaver had not returned or contacted her. The Associated Press reports that the newspaper's publisher said the two reporters were not working at the time the plane went missing. The Big Fork Eagle report's last radar contact showed the plane at just 300 feet AGL over the National Bison Range. Authorities say they're analyzing mobile data signals from phones used by the occupants to narrow the search area. Up next on ANN, beware the pitfalls of concentric knobs. The FAA reminds oil rigs in the Gulf, let us know if you're evacuating. And compared to the government, there are no big businesses. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 1st. I'm Paul Platt. All the new avionics finding their way into general aviation aircraft can do amazing things. But among the compromises forced by limited panel space is concentric knobs. Using rotary switches or potentiometers with coaxial shafts has been a favorite option of engineers since the early days of car radios. But they're making new avionics prone to some new problems. The FAA has issued information for operators which not only warns of the risks in bumping the wrong knob on a concentric pair, but urges those of us who do it to report it. The FAA is concerned that in some setups, a change to one function might affect another totally unrelated function without being detected by the crew. In one reported incident, rotating the navigation course select knob resulted in an unwanted change to the barometric altitude setting. The agency is asking owners, managers, pilots, trainers, anyone else involved to address the issue in training, and they want us to complain about it if it happens, both to the manufacturers and via FAA service difficulty reporting, using a malfunction or defect report submission form so that any trends can be tracked. The FAA has issued a SAFO, a safety alert for operators, reminding companies which operate oil rigs in the Gulf of Mexico that if the platforms host a radio communication air ground facility, AWOS, or ADS-B ground station, the FAA needs to be notified if the platform is being evacuated ahead of a storm. The agency stresses that no action is required by platform personnel fleeing a storm, but an evacuation without FAA notification could have severe consequences for aviation safety. For example, if generators or other backup power sources should run out of fuel, equipment used by aircraft in the region could suddenly drop offline. The FAA simply wants a heads up that nobody's home so it can anticipate such outages and be ready to inform other users of the system. Officials of the U.S. federal government have often talked over the years about the need to access the efficiencies and innovation in small businesses during the procurement process. But the programs nearly always wind up with barriers to all but the biggest, most established contractors. But the FAA announced on Tuesday that Metron Aviation of Dulles, Virginia, has been awarded a contract worth over $1 billion over 10 years for engineering work on NextGen, one of the largest ever awarded by the FAA to a small business. Working alongside giants like Boeing, General Dynamics, and ITT, Metron will help conduct large-scale demonstrations to see how next-gen concepts, procedures, and technologies can be integrated into the current system. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood commented, quote, "Small businesses generate some of our country's best ideas. The rollout of NextGen will give small businesses the opportunity to serve on the leading edge of this major transportation initiative," unquote. Now, before you get your hopes up that your one-man shop will land a $1 billion FAA contract, I feel the need to point out that what looks like a small business compared to the federal government could still be pretty big. I called Metron Aviation yesterday to find out just how many employees the company has. The otherwise cheerful receptionist told me she couldn't give me that number, then transferred me to the voicemail of some guy in marketing. I emailed him separately, never did get an answer by deadline, but on the website, the page listing the executive team has 24 names and photos. The FAA's press release also mentions Booz Allen Hamilton of McLean, Virginia, which landed a $700 million piece of the pie, and has 23,000 employees. So, what's a big business then? Still ahead, even the Navy can buy counterfeit bolts. The two-stroke Rotax 503 is now an LSA candidate, and the risks in some aviation jobs may be easy to forget. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, July 1st. I'm Paul Plack. It's not just experimental aircraft builders who fall victim to defective or counterfeit hardware. A San Diego County aircraft worker has been sentenced to 2 years in prison for selling defective bolts to the U.S. military for use in helicopters. He's also been ordered to pay almost $250,000 in restitution. 57-year-old Joel H. Potter pleaded guilty to the charge, admitting he put troops at risk. He was sentenced on Monday, according to U.S. Attorney Laura E. Duffy. The Associated Press reports the DOD discovered the problem after a bolt head broke off during installation on a Sikorsky CH-53E helicopter. The incident sparked a worldwide alert to the Navy and Marine Corps. Duffy reportedly sold more than 16,000 bad parts to a supplier contracted by the Defense Department between 2004 and 2008 while working for McKenzie Aircraft Parts in Vista, California. Call it the little engine that could. The Rotax 503 two-stroke has evolved from the snowmobiles of the late 1970s into a bona fide aircraft engine. With its robust design and forced air cooling, many consider it the most reliable two-stroke aircraft engine on the market. Enthusiasts have been worried by rumors lately that 503 production might end amid tightening worldwide emissions standards. Those folks will probably find some comfort in the knowledge that Rotax has jumped through the requisite hoops to document the 503's compliance with the ASTM F2339 standards. Given the design's age, that was no small task, and it now makes the engine available to OEMs who'd like to consider it for light sport aircraft. But there is a catch. Only the latest production runs qualify. That means engines with serial number 647-9168 or higher. So if you've been hoarding classic Ski-Doos in your garage waiting for a big payday, sorry. It's time to put them back on eBay. And finally today, in the roughly 2 years I've lived in the Salt Lake City area, I've noticed the plane going by overhead many a time. The Salt Lake Bees minor league baseball team has made extensive use of aerial banner advertising to spur last-minute ticket purchases on the nights of home games. And the banner has always made me smile when I see it. I've even commented numerous times to family and friends as the plane went over, "I'd love that job." Well, sadly, that job is now open and under the worst of circumstances. Witnesses say 34-year-old pilot Quinn Falk had just hooked the banner about 5 p.m. local time Saturday at South Valley Regional Airport in West Jordan, Utah, a few blocks west of me, when the plane appeared to immediately lose power. Witnesses say he immediately released the banner but was too low to make the turn back to the airport. The aircraft stalled, hit the ground, and caught fire. Falk is thought to have died on impact. He reportedly had about 2,000 hours logged. The contract to fly the banners is held by Aerial Ads of Heber, Utah. So far, the flights have not resumed, and it's not clear when or even if they will. But I know that if they do, I'll never feel the same again seeing that banner. I'm pretty sure that seeing aerial banners from now on will always remind me of a neighbor who might still be around if he hadn't tried to turn back to the runway, and that there are jobs people take to build ours which put them in height velocity no man's land on every flight. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's part two of Jim Campbell's recap of Copa Migration 8. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.